You want to make me happy, Vic? Get me out of this tag team. I need to be out there by myself. That needs to be me, right there.
Well, then let me see what I can do, Dom.
Well, the mood Randy Orton's in. I don't think anybody would want to confront the WWE's apex predator right now. Randy Orton!
Smack Talk Radio Live's Quick Take, running down the week that was.
All right, it's Thursday evening. Smack Talk Radio Live back on the air. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting in the Smack Talk studios in Vancouver, British Columbia, sitting alongside James, too good for TV, McDonald.
Hey,
James,
hey.
How you doing tonight,
buddy? I'm doing real good tonight, man. I'm really excited about tonight's episode. Corey, it's been quite a newsworthy week in the WWE. Would you agree?
Has it ever. In fact, this week, it made me think that 2012 might be a year to forget for the WWE.
Or remember, if you want to go the other way.
That's true. Before we get into all of it, though, let me just remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on this yet, get with the times, man, at SRL Radio on Twitter. Now, this is Quick Take, running down the week that was in professional wrestling. We're just going to give our random thoughts, and we're just going to hit record, put the mics in front of our face, and just go at it.
Corey, you forgot to mention our email address.
Oh, that's right.
Right? Don't, we have all this swag right here that we want to give away. All you got to do is send us an email at onair@smacktalkradiolive.com, and you too could win some fabulous prizes.
But we're not giving away any swag here tonight, James. We're saving those for SRL on a Monday night. And if you haven't heard about what SRL on a Monday night is, it's when we go live right after Monday Night Raw, and that takes place 9:30 Pacific time. And that's where we go and run down the show that we just watched. And we want your thoughts and opinions on the product as well. So that's when we're giving away the swag, James. Come on.
Fire them off, people. That's all I got to say.
All right. Now, tonight, I'm excited because we're joined by a guy who I haven't had a chance to talk to since the night before WrestleMania 28 in Miami. And, you know, James, realistically, this guy, he knows his stuff.
Oh,
and
very, very knowledgeable gentleman. I'm glad to have him back on the show.
Exactly. And, you know, this is the first time we've ever had a guest come back on the show. So it's a first for us here tonight.
Hey, you know, I never thought about that. That's very true.
That's right. Now, tonight, we are joined by BeneathTheMat.com's and Mix 106.1 FM in Philadelphia. His name is Brian Socia. Brian, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here, man. It's great to be back calling you guys, by the way. I had a blast last time. This is awesome. Two times, like, on your show, so hopefully this isn't the last. Hopefully, I can keep batting 1,000.
Well, I guess that'll depend on how well you do tonight.
Yeah, or if you like my answer. I have to tell you, though, you know, it's great for your call. Do you want to know what I was doing?
What's that?
First of all, I have my Smack Talk radio hat on. You talk about the swag.
Hey, right on.
I got that in mind. Yes, in preparation for this interview, I put it on. I was listening to my Hulk Hogan and the Wrestling Boot Traveling Band CD. I was jamming out, you know?
Ah, right on.
Now, was that hat dusty, considering it was the first time you pulled it out of your closet since we gave it to you the night before WrestleMania?
Actually, I pulled it out of my bag. It was in my bag. It from WrestleMania, so I never unpacked.
So,
no, actually, it's hanging on my wall. It's hanging on my wall with my other hats, my Phillies hat, and like all my other hats. And I've worn it. I know I've worn it at least once. My girlfriend told me it looked good on me. So,
oh,
you know.
Oh, there you go.
Looking smack talking, man. Get the girl.
That's right.
Perfect. Well, I got to admit, that show where you were on with us the night before WrestleMania, I thought that was definitely one of our best episodes. So we're really happy to have you back on the show tonight.
Mm-hmm. And
I'm happy to be here, man. It was a lot of fun.
And Brian, just so everyone back home, or everyone listening, I should say, knows, you, Chris Yatsik, and Mike Tobin, and our buddy Rob, we all did a show the night before WrestleMania. It was our big WrestleMania preview episode. So if you recognize the name Brian Socia, that is where you will remember him from. Now, Brian, just give everyone a quick reminder of what is your background with the professional wrestling industry.
Well, first and foremost, I'm a fan. I've been a fan my whole life. That's all I've ever cared about as a little kid. I don't even watch other sports, barely. And secondly, after that, you know, I got into independent wrestling. I did that for about 10 years. Mike Tobin was actually one of my tag team partners. Mozart Fontaine, the other one, worked for ECWA all around the East Coast. Did a couple things on WWE TV. That was cool. And, you know, I think I have a knowledge. You know, I've studied. I consider myself a bit of a historian, too, with wrestling. I like to know everything from, I don't care if it's the 50s, the 40s, to, like, now. I'm really into all that stuff. So, and, you know, now I'm on the radio in Philly, and I interview a lot of wrestlers. They come through quite often, actually. It works out very nicely.
What have you done recently on the radio that people might want to check out? For example, I know you just did a little chat with Daniel Bryan not too long ago. How did that go for you?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
No, he was great, and you know, it was very hard to not screw up his name. I actually had a place in me where I was going to screw up his name on purpose and say the wrong name, but he'd said the wrong name before I did. So
yeah,
he
I
was
just
great,
did it right
Daniel
now.
Bryan. Yeah, he was cool. He was a great interview. We talked about Ken the Box, which if you've never seen Ken the Box, I'm happy to promote it. Look up Ken the Box on YouTube, best wrestler of all time. I've done stuff with Wade Barrett. I've done stuff with Justin Gabriel. I had CM Punk in studio, The Miz in studio, Sheamus in studio, Shane Douglas in studio. I mean, there's tons more. I had R-Truth on the phone. They tend to come through and call a lot. I was just saying, the interview probably isn't going to hit the web or the air until the end of next week, but Diamond Dallas Page is supposed to come in tomorrow to promote DDP yoga and everything else. It'll be a lot of fun.
The big question is, will you be trying the DDP yoga program?
No, dude, I've been wanting to try it. I've been following it since it was YRG. I think it's an excellent program, and they're not paying me to say this, not yet. I think it's everything. All the wrestlers seem to love it. Everyone's using it. There's a guy named Arthur. If you watch his YouTube video, it'll totally inspire you. And I've been wanting to try it for a while. Just the sets were kind of expensive. I figured out, hey, I'm going to promote them anyway. He'll probably, you know, maybe hook me up with a couple so I can do it then. But yes, I'm very looking forward to trying it. I don't consider myself out of shape, but I'd like to get in a lot better shape. I spoke to Stevie Richards, actually, about it a couple weeks ago, and he was saying how much he loved it. He swears by it.
Now,
Chris Jericho, Michaels, they all use it.
The bigger question, though, that I have, will you be videotaping yourself trying it for the first time and posting that on YouTube so we can all watch?
Well, you know, I do have a voluptuous derriere, so I'm sure that the women out there will love that.
All right. No, we got to stop that right there. All right.
Just making sure you paid attention.
So we haven't talked to you since the night before WrestleMania 28 in Miami. Quick thoughts. What did you think of WrestleMania 28?
Actually, man, you know, I didn't think it was that bad of a show. It's always different when you watch it on TV, but being here live, I didn't think it was that bad. We did really well for ourselves. We found a way to go eat and then sneak down and ended up sitting like sixth row.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, it was nuts. I think the guy one row in front of us paid like $8,000, he said, for his seats, and the guy in back, this was the dude that brings the cars in for Del Rio and stuff, like, and he works with P. Diddy. He was telling us all this stuff.
And there was just two seats available in the sixth row to go and grab?
Bro, listen, I shouldn't give my secrets up, but where there's a will, there's a way. If you want to get close to any kind of event, you'll get there.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You know?
I've done it a million times.
Well, it was funny because we were sitting there, and I said, look, if somebody comes, I'll move somewhere else. You know, I'm a pro at doing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For any event. Like, I did concerts and everything. And, you know, it was so crazy. No one ever came. It's one of these rich fools from Miami that buys a seat and doesn't show up, I guess. I don't know. Crazy. You know. But, yeah, it was really cool. We ended up sitting down there, and we were sitting right on the aisleway where Tori Wilson was sitting, like, in front of us with, who was she going out with? Jeter? The Jeter she going out with?
A-Rod, isn't it?
Or A-Rod. I don't know. I get them all confused. I don't follow it. A-Rod.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were yelling steroid allegation stuff at A-Rod. That was funny.
Do we get to see you at any point on the DVD?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. But I do know that it was funny because it took us a minute, but they were figuring, like, they were bringing by all the families. I guess so they come see the matches of their father or mother or whoever's up there wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they would walk straight past us, like Big Show's wife came by. And the one thing that really struck me was it looked like Jericho's wife, his two kids, or maybe three kids. I think there was three. There's a little boy and maybe a little girl or two. And I guess his wife's mother, maybe, were there. And after he lost, they were walking back, and the little poor kid was crying his eyes out.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah, and I try to be like the hero, and I kind of went down to him. I said, "It's all right, man. It's all right." The kid, and they start louder, like, "Oh God!" And then his, I just said to his wife, I was like, "Yo, I was like, I know who you are. That this match was great, you know." And she's like, "Oh, thanks. She was really nice." Oh. But as for the show, I thought it was good. The main criticism coming out of that seemed to be, at least that night, everybody was so mad about Daniel Bryan.
Yes. That was the only thing for me that sullied the show.
No. I told Daniel Bryan this when I talked to him. Like, at first, I was a little annoyed because I think I said this on the podcast when we talked last time. WrestleMania the year before last year, I was saying they're going to steal the show. It's going to be the sleeper match. And, you know, the whole thing where they got the dark match.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get on the show. And then this year, I was all excited. I'm like, yo, okay, good. They're going to show people. Now they're going to be really motivated. They're really going to steal the show. I can't wait. So I was annoyed in that aspect. I'm sure if I was one of those guys, I'd be annoyed too. But like he said in my interview, that's the probably the most Glover make for the 8 seconds of work, 18 seconds of work he had to do. And he said he wasn't happy with it. But and I told a guy I was sitting next to, it was the best thing that could have happened to him.
Yeah, that's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, like it just, by him losing so quickly because of AJ, there's your storyline right there. And it's going to make him more of a heel. He's going to come back angry. I just thought, like, where's the silver lining in this? And everyone was so mad. And I would have been mad if I traveled to see that match, too, like, as far as some of these people did. But at the same time, it really, if you think about it, it kind of helped make his career more than it even already was. It really helped launch him.
It definitely endeared him to the fans, that's for sure.
And
yeah, because everyone was so mad about it. And it's like everyone got on his – everyone who liked him already got even more passionate about him.
The fans were the losers, but he was the real big winner at the end of that, for sure. So.
Yeah, I think so too. But I, you know, that was the main criticism I heard people talking about at the show. Other than that, like, you know, Roxana was what it was. I get why they put The Rock over, but you know, I don't know.
Were you shocked at the end of that though?
I don't remember what my prediction was when we did it on the podcast before. I wasn't shocked because I knew it could happen. I don't know. I think.
Oh, look, come on, Brian. Five of us sat in that room, and not one of us thought that The Rock was going to win cleanly.
I didn't. But look, hindsight's 20/20 is what I'm saying. Like, I look back, and exactly. Right after it happened, I was like, wrong decision. Why'd you do that? And a lot of times I find, and this is a lesson I think for any WWE fan, a lot of times when they get all mad about that, not all the time, but a lot of times, usually there's something that's going to come down the road. So whenever something crazy or weird or different, like that you don't think should happen, happens, even if you get mad at first, usually just take a breath and think, okay, well, where are they going with this? Something has to happen in the future. Like, there has to be a reason they did this. They wouldn't do something so ridiculous. You wouldn't think, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For no reason. So that's how I try to think of it. And, you know, when it happened, I was like, why would they do that? But now I look back and I'm like, well, they're obviously going to go, it really hurt Cena that bad. I don't think so.
No, he'll bounce back from it for sure.
Well, see, coming out of that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, he always does. That's what he does.
Were you going to say something, James?
I was just going to say, I thought coming out of that match, we were going to see a real change to John Cena's character. Maybe see a more serious John Cena, maybe see him become a more dynamic character, but I don't think we've really seen that. He's just kind of gone back to the same old, you know, comedy-spewing... you know, time eater that everybody's come to hate type thing, right?
And he's on holidays
I will say this, though, about Cena. I think that, like you just said, comedy spewing and all, you know, the lines that he says sometimes, like when he was doing the thing like loser to Johnny Ace and stuff like
terrible.
That. Yeah, I know. But the thing is, you got to remember, this guy's given some hard lines to recite sometimes, and he usually does even when they're really, really horrible lines, I think other people, if they had to do it, the things he does, I don't think they would come off as good. Like, that wasn't good to me, but some of the stuff that, even though it's not good, I feel like he makes it better than it. It would be even worse if he didn't do it the way he does it. I can't explain it, but I feel like he's got a lot to deal with.
I totally disagree with that, though, because I feel that this guy is supposed to be the best, and when he comes out there and he presents a promo in that way, and just his over-the-top, cheesy style of acting, to me... he has lost all credibility at this point in time. In fact, I have said this on the show already. I think that promo where he said loser to Johnny Ace, I think that is going to go down as the worst promo of 2012.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not supporting that promo. I didn't like that. I thought that was wherever top and stupid. But at the same time, other roles and other times you see him on there, what I'm saying is he can take really, really bad stuff sometimes and make it better than other people could. Now, other times he's out there and they want you to suspend your disbelief and all, and it's hard to when they're jabbing you with, you know, the over-the-top stuff like the loser thing. Like, yes. That's like two little kids arguing in a schoolyard. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? That's not what I want to see. But, you know, Cena does the best. I think he does the best, and I just think it's really cool how people feel very passionate about him either way. They love him or they hate him. And as far as somebody said it about how him getting more of an edge, I think that a lot of people kind of thought that, but I don't think it. They're still making a lot of money off him, like people always say. They are. So, why would they switch him now? Kids still love him. He's the modern-day Hulk Hogan. For kids, he's Hulk Hogan for them, like what Hulk Hogan was for us.
Well, what's funny is that about a week ago, I ordered a pizza, and our pizza delivery driver, who lives near our house here, he delivers the pizza, he knocks on my door, delivers the pizza, and tells me that he's been listening to our radio show, and he says to me, he goes, you know, I've been really wanting to talk to you about something. And I said, oh yeah, what's that? And he goes, well, you know, you always sit here and say that, you know, you're an advocate of The Rock, and The Rock represents your generation, and he goes, I understand that, he said, but there's something that you don't seem to understand. And I said, well, what's that? He goes, you know, The Rock is your generation, but I'm 22 years old, and when I was at that impressionable age of 18, 17, or whatever.
Even younger than that.
Even younger than that. He said, you know, it was all about John Cena, and he was our Rock. And that's why today, even if he is cheesy and corny and over the top, I still like him. And
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
It does, but to me, it's just like, he's still missing that element that these other guys have brought. Like, for example, James and I watched the Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels DVD the other night.
The Greatest Rivalries one.
Good DVD, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent.
And the way these two are talking about their storyline and how they wanted everyone to think that they hated each other, even to the point of the locker room thinking that they hated each other, that is just something that is missing in today's wrestling. And I blame John Cena for that because of this over-the-top, cheesy acting. And you can sit here and say John Cena was our era, but it's a different era to me in a bad way, not in a good way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But if you look, you know, and I understand what you're saying 100%. I understand what the pizza boy is saying. Does he have a name?
I actually don't know
his name. I don't know his name either.
He always knocks on the door wanting to talk wrestling.
But he should never have a real name from now on. He should just be the pizza boy.
The pizza boy, yeah.
He should show up in a luchador mask and deliver guys pizza. If he does that, if he now from listening shows up in a luchador mask and delivers pizza, I'll be his biggest fan.
There we go. I'll make sure to snap a photo of that if that happens.
Oh, my God. It'll be amazing. the pizza boy.
Yeah.
But I think I understand what the pizza boy is saying, and I understand what you're saying. And, you know, at the same time, though, you know, if you're to talk to, like I said, I consider myself a bit of a historian on wrestling. If you're to talk to somebody who grew up in an era even before us, I'm not talking the 80s. I'm thinking of one of my friend's fathers who grew up with, like, Bruno Sammartino and stuff. He'll tell you that was the best era. And then my friend's grandfather will tell you that, you know, Gorgeous George was the best era. Like, it's just like music and everything else. This Cena era, if the fans stick around, they're going to say the next era isn't as good. And maybe it is declining. I don't know, but it could be a generational thing, too. I've always had to argue with my friends that when we were younger, you know, we had Hogan, and then we had Rock and Austin. But, you know, if you look back to, like, WrestleMania, what is it? I think it's WrestleMania 8. A lot of people, I mean, I don't know how good they did buy rate-wise, and I don't know, you know, that gets panned sometimes. Same with, I think it's 8 or 7 maybe does, too. But I used to love 8 when I was a kid because we were kids. So was it a bad show or were we just kids and anything would impress us?
Yeah. That's,
you know what I mean? I just think,
and it's tough to answer that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. You can't. You're more innocent then as you're growing up and you're more impressionable to like these guys. Mm-hmm. Like this pizza kid, he might have been into Cena because that's all he had. He didn't know. He doesn't know the prior generation. See, when I was a kid, I would go back and study. I wanted to know about the 70s. I wanted to know about the 60s. nowadays he kind of he knows like to him Austin and Hogan are the big names. Other than that, like, he probably doesn't really know much. No offense, Pizza Boy, but I'm mm-hmm. just saying.
Yeah, he said. I'm pretty sure he said he was 22 years old now. So
I think so. Yeah,
yeah, he's younger. So I can understand.
It's a different world.
Saying. Yeah, it is.
So you got to think during the Attitude Era. If he's 22, now do math for me here because I'm not amazing enough to do it with my fingers. But if he's 22 in 98, how old was he? So he would have been.
Well.
Come on, get a pen and paper.
Come on. Well, that would
98. Shit, 98.
14 years
been,
ago.
Yeah, he would have been like 8 years old.
Yeah, so I can understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So he didn't. Yeah, he didn't. He probably wasn't even watching Austin.
Yeah. No, I understand, well, but
we'll,
I just
we'll call the pizza boy up next time. I want to talk to him. Come on.
All right. So, quickly, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you ranking WrestleMania 28? And we're gonna move on.
Come on. Jeez, I hate these kind of questions.
Why?
Because
what the people
I'm real weird. Like, no, but if you, it's the same thing. If you ask me who the best wrestler ever is, I can't. It's hard to rank. Like,
I always find the scale of 1 to 10 better than the thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down. It paints a little more accurate picture for us.
Did you ever hear of the hot pokers up the ass system?
No.
Wow.
There used to be this website I went to when I was really young. When, like, the internet first like came on the scene. I can't remember the guy's name who wrote it. God, it's gonna kill me. But that's how he would rate the matches. If it was a really bad pay per view, he would do the hot pokers up the ass system. How many hot pokers he's gonna do that with? You know, rather than sit through the match again. That was his system. But you're asking the. Sorry.
Come on, Socha. Scale of 1 to 10.
One to 10. I'll say that I'm going to rank it a. If you're talking about just the card and match quality, I would say I'll be easy. I'll give it a 7.
Wow. I don't know if it was just.
Maybe an 8.
I don't know if it was just because I was really drunk by the end of it, but I thought it was like an 8 or 9.
Yeah, I would have totally agreed.
Seven with possible gust to an 8. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I get. It's hard. It's and that's a live show rating. A TV rating might be different for me because yeah. I've seen on TV.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
But yeah, 7 to 8, I'd say.
All right. Keeping with John Cena, after WrestleMania finishes, the next night we see him enter into a program with former heavyweight UFC champion Brock Lesnar. Now, it's been a few months since this has all gone down, but what are your thoughts on how they've handled Brock Lesnar?
Were you guys there for that?
Yes,
we were.
Monday Night Raw, yes.
Yeah, Raw was amazing. Mm-hmm. How did they handle that? Well, they brought Brock out, and they just brought him out. I mean, they didn't really, not much fanfare. I mean, there were some rumors. I don't know if you guys remember, but at the time, there were rumors going around Miami with fans.
Yes.
Everyone was talking about that and Batista both being in the area. So, I mean, there was definitely a buzz, at least in Miami. I don't know how it was outside of Miami, but...
I just mean in the past few months. Like, how have you...
The whole time.
How have you liked Brock Lesnar in the past few months with the WWE?
It's okay. I misunderstood your question.
No, it's okay.
How they brought him in. I don't mind it. I know that they have a certain number of dates they can use him for, from what I understand. So, they don't want to go over the dates. That's why they brought Paul Heyman in. I like that they teamed Paul Heyman with him. Excellent mouthpiece. I like what they're doing with Lesnar, making him an unstoppable monster. A lot of people didn't like when they put him with Johnny Ace. I didn't care. I didn't mind that. Brock Lesnar's Brock Lesnar.
I didn't mind that either.
You know.
See, I disagree with you guys. I thought as soon as you put him with John Laurinaitis, you instantly demoted his credibility as a legit threat. They kept pushing for this word legitimacy with Brock Lesnar, and he was bringing legitimacy back. As soon as I saw him with John Laurinaitis, I thought, no, he's just another character.
I think they just did that to establish him as a real bad heel.
Well, of course. They wanted to make him a heel to John Cena, and they threw him with John Laurinaitis, who at the time was the monster heel. But to me, it just it tarnished the word legitimacy by doing that.
I don't know. I disagree.
All right.
No, I see both your points, but I just feel like, you know, look, WWE is WWE, and it's not bad, it's not good. They do things the way they do it. You can go to the whole Bret Hart angle that people still talk about, like why they need to hit him with a car. They seem to add stuff all the time like that. That's just how they seem to work. It is what it is. It didn't destroy the angle for me, the Brock Lesnar thing, but at the same time, I would have liked to see them handle the Johnny Ace thing a little differently. Like maybe they could have had Johnny Ace, you know, pay him off or something. You know what I mean? Just to help him rid the WWE. Like, it's something like that. Like, Johnny Ace wants to bring legitimacy back to the WWE. You know what I mean? So, they could have done that a little differently, but I don't think it destroyed the angle. I mean, I still think he's going to be seen as a solid ass kicking heel, and you know, I think it's going to work out. So,
do you think would you have done anything differently with the way they've handled Lesnar since he's come back, or are you generally happy with what you've seen on television?
Well, I mean, you can always do stuff differently, but I think that what I've seen on TV has held my entertainment and has helped me on the channel and hasn't made me fall asleep and has made me want to see what Lesnar's going to do next. I like his unpredictability. They did use him a lot. You know, I get that he's just getting put over people, he was getting put over by people to establish him even more. I get that. You know, it's held my interest. I think it's cool. I just wish they could use him more. But I think bringing Paul Heyman in, because, you know, they can't use Lesnar on every show, is only going to be a good thing. I mean, Heyman's, number one, they're great friends in real life now. So Heyman being around the locker room, even if he doesn't help with creative, can only help talent. I'm sure they're going to talk to him and ask him for advice. And him being on my TV, I'll take Paul Heyman anytime I can.
Agreed.
You know,
what about the finish? What about the finish to Extreme Rules?
That was one that just happened, right? Lesnar's. I don't have a problem. I'm trying to think if I even saw Extreme Rules. I might have missed that. Hold on. Was that the last one?
No, Lesnar.
No, that was two pay-per-views.
Two pay-per-views ago. Lesnar's first match back.
Oh no, I did see that one because it did a killer buy rate. I don't mind it. I don't think it was a big deal. Again, WWE is going to do what they're going to do. Cena, a lot of people were mad because Cena lost and stuff. But at the same time, you know, that really, really put Brock over big time. Mm-hmm. You have to. And Cena's going to bounce back. He's like the Teflon man.
Do you put any thought into Brock Lesnar showing up at the last UFC pay-per-view in the crowd and this rumor that he wants to make a UFC comeback? Do you put any sort of... No, not at all.
Yeah, dude. No, I think one of two things happened. This is just my opinion. Strictly my opinion. I think either he thought, you know what? I'm going to... this might have happened, but I'm going to see Paul Heyman in here going, hey, Brock, go show up to UFC, get the world buzzing about you. Or Vince tell him to go show up to UFC, hang out, get the world talking about you. You know, Vince is so... seems to be so savvy, and Dana White's definitely savvy. Mm-hmm. Who knows? They're not working on something behind the scenes we don't know about. You know, who's to say? You don't know. Or Brock could have done it on his own, figuring, hey, I'm going to go see if I can get a better price out of them. From what I understand, though, Brock told them to be like, nothing's happening. Like, I just went. No, but I think that was all publicity stunt. I really do.
And
he probably went to see some people, and that's it.
And by him doing that, to me, it is a legit way of bringing the word legitimacy back into the picture, if I can use that sentence.
No, I agree with you there.
Like, you know, people are wondering what's real and what isn't, and that is what you want. And by him doing that, legitimacy has come back to the name Brock Lesnar in that aspect. So,
definitely. I wonder if he's doing that in his own. Maybe he feels the same way you do about how they brought him as a legitimate guy and he didn't like what they were doing with him or something. Maybe that's his way of keeping it legit. Who knows, man?
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to follow just to see what's going to happen. But, you know, and with, like I said, with Paul Heyman now in the picture, behind the scenes and on TV, it's only going to get more interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a little sidestep here because I want to talk about something that's very current. We are going to get back to the WWE storylines, but one thing I wanted to bring up with you and James, because we haven't had an opportunity to talk about it on the show yet, is the big news that Randy Orton suspended for 60 days, his second strike for violating the wellness policy.
Third time he's been suspended, too.
Hold on. Is it really his second strike now? This is what I'm confused about.
Well, I think there is some confusion.
Think everybody's confused about this.
And I think down the road, if there is a third strike, that'll be the gray area that could possibly save Randy Orton's
career.
He's
on very thin ice right now, I think.
But interesting news coming this week that Randy Orton is suspended for 60 days. What are your thoughts on it, Brian?
I think that, you know, he must have, from what I hear, and again, this is all stuff I hear, I don't know if it's true, and the stuff I've read, that I think they've known about this for a little while. Like, they knew it was coming. It wasn't just like, oh, they popped him for whatever and they got rid of him. I don't know what he got popped for. I don't know if they suspend for weed anymore, or I don't know if they're just fining for that. I don't know if steroids, they do suspend for that, but I don't think it looks, doesn't look like he's on the gas to me. I know, I think one of his other times, I don't know if it was his first strike. Do you guys remember he got in trouble for smoking, I think, backstage or something? And he's been in so much trouble.
I can't remember. James was mentioning that he was part of a signature pharmacy scandal back in 2007.
That was the big one.
Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I think that was his first strike.
Yeah. Or did he get a strike for that, James?
Him and a lot of other people got a strike for that. But he actually wasn't taken off television. He was kept on television, but it was weird. He's still considered suspended, but they kept him on TV.
Oh, no. He did get suspended. I don't think that counts as a strike, though, because now that I'm thinking about it, I think that when that happened, I think, prior to them having their policy. So I don't think he got suspended. I don't think he got a strike. I think he got suspended. But I remember, if you remember, he was suspended last time, I think. Was it 60 or 30 days last time? It was in like 2000.
I'm pretty sure it was 30 days because it goes 30 days for your first strike, 60 days for your second, and third you're out. So
I thought it was 60, because that's what threw me for a loop with this one. And I think it was something like he wasn't like a failure. I think he was like doing something backstage and they saw him, or something about being in front of the media. And he had another one about anger management.
Yes.
He even did an interview with the anger management stuff. He's had all kinds of problems.
And there's rumors of him
in a hotel room. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Harassing divas backstage.
Yeah.
Well, allegedly.
But hey, he allegedly, yes. Make sure you use that word, James. But hey, he shouldn't even get in trouble for that, personally, in my opinion.
But he's trying to save us from having to watch. I think that. The one thing I worry about, it's like a catch-22, is you guys saw on Raw Dolph Ziggler saying, get me out of this tag team. For all intents and purposes, I heard that Dolph Ziggler was going to do some work with Orton. So I was very excited about that because I want to see Dolph. I really want to see him succeed. I really like his work. And in and outside of the ring, he just seems like a super good dude. And I don't know if this is going to hurt his chances now, because that was like a big thing for him. Or maybe if he's lucky, he gets to put Orton out, or he gets to, you know, if Orton gets to finish up. But. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know Orton's coming back, I think, before SummerSlam. So
There's two ways Ziggler could go with this. They could put Ziggler on the back shelf until these guys come back, or they could use Ziggler and push him into the spotlight while these guys are gone, and Ziggler's push will just be accelerated 5 times faster. So it really...
We're hoping for it.
Yeah, so are we, believe me. We've been talking about it for weeks.
But the thing is, they put him on the shelf, dude. If they put him, you know how that goes, too, and that's not just WWE, that's any wrestling company. They put you on the shelf. It's like you're kind of forgotten about sometimes by accident. It's happened before.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't want to see Ziggler get lost, man. I don't want to see him get lost. He's got too much talent.
But with this suspension, I mean, it really puts the WWE in a very interesting position, because they have three of their top guys off television right now. I mean, you have Randy Orton, you have Chris Jericho getting suspended with the flag incident, and you have Rey Mysterio, who's out on a wellness policy violation. And I mean, you just add to the other things that have happened with Orton this year. I mean, he was involved with, he was supposed to be in the Marine 3, and there was all that negative press about that, and he got, you know, taken off that leading role for that movie. And then you throw in the fact that he was in a boring feud with Kane at WrestleMania, and he eventually lost that match. I mean, it hasn't been a very good year for Randy Orton, hasn't been a very good year for the top stars in the WWE. I mean...
And now apparently his punt maneuver is being banned because of concussion awareness issues, so it's...
Is this symbolic for where the WWE sits right now? I mean, you look at the stock price, it's under $8 a share.
Oh, it's disgusting.
I mean, is there cause for concern? I mean, personally, I think that this is symbolic of where we're at with the WWE right now. Orton's suspension is just not good news for the company as a whole.
And now Raw's moving to 3 hours, and I mean, that's nothing but bad news, in my opinion, for the company.
There you go.
You know, it's funny. A columnist at BeneathTheMat.com, Jason Neese, he writes really good articles. He wrote an article about the power of an hour, like the week before they announced this 3-hour Raw, and how Raw might be better if it was moved back to an hour. It was a very good column with a lot of solid, you know, points behind it. And I'd heard a lot of people say, if you ask people in wrestling, they'll ask you what the ideal amount of a show is. I was talking to a wrestling guy about this the other day, and I think, you know, I've heard, I think Meltzer said this before too, 90 minutes is the best time for a show, a wrestling show. So we'll see. It all depends on how they approach the 3-hour Raw too, I think, guys. I think that, you know, if they do something innovative at the beginning, maybe they, you know, something different. If it's just like 3 hours of the same stuff.
Exactly.
You know,
whatever, anything. It's my favorite thing in the world is wrestling, but I mean, there's other things too that I love that I wouldn't want to do for 3 hours. You know, I wouldn't want to do a lot of things for 3 hours. That's a long chunk of time to dedicate.
I'm just afraid we're going to see a lot more like recap packages and, you know, crap video packages. Just
what
a lot
happened
of,
moments ago.
Exactly. Just a lot of filler that we're, you know, that we're just exposed to now. I think we're just going to see a lot more of it, and that's not a good thing.
Brian, what do you think?
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, Brian, what do you think about the idea of the Monday Night Raw becoming more socially active with the 3-hour announcement?
I think it's a step that, you know, TNA's doing the same thing. I think it's a step that was going to have to be made at some point. I think that WWE, for all the you know, flack they get for, oh, changes the times, they are behind with certain things, but at least they're trying to incorporate this. I know when they did like Taboo Tuesdays and Cyber Sundays, they didn't do too good, but I always thought that was a neat concept. Now,
see, I thought that was a joke. I thought that was a complete joke, those Taboo Tuesdays and Cyber Sundays, because
I thought it was a neat concept. I thought it was innovative. I thought the time was different. Nobody was doing it. It was cool.
What would make it work is if it was legit. The whole thing was so scripted, and you knew that the results were swerved, and that none of them. It just, to me, it wasn't real in any way. I don't know. I felt that way too, but it was real.
It's just WWE has a way to take. You understand the internet audience now with Twitter, it's going to be harder for me. It should be interesting, but the internet audience is only a segment of the audience. They have so many other people who might be listening to this show or watching their show, and I don't know. I don't want to single out like a southern weird hick state without teeth. They have people that still believe that this is two guys really fighting each other that have access to computers that are going to vote too. And they can sway those people, and they can sway kids the way they want. That's the art of wrestling. That's what they do. But I
compare it to the draft. Sorry, just before you go on there. I compare it to the WWE draft. Like, to me, the WWE draft could be awesome.
If they did it properly.
If it was done properly. But the problem with the draft is everyone comes out and acts like it's a big surprise. And, you know, like, for example, I remember there was one episode of a draft episode where they spin the wheel. And this, you know, it was like a...
That's the biggest joke, man,
like,
is when they spin
I'm trying
wheel.
To remember what the correct term for these types of wheel is. But they spin the wheel and whatever it lands on...
I call it spin the wheel, make the deal. That's what I call it.
Yeah. Like and WCW, so... And so, you know, they're like, they spin the wheel, the camera pushes in on the top where the ticker is and where it's going to land, and it's so blatantly obvious to me that someone is slowing the wheel down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that stuff that ruins the draft to me. Because you could make it legit, and you could make it a real draft in a sense. And when you do that, you are, like, you're throwing a curveball into everything. And to me, that's what makes wrestling awesome. And when you compare that to the Cyber Sunday Taboo Tuesday type concept, if you made it real and you threw a curveball that was legit, that would even throw the backstage area off kilter, that's what makes it good. And if they did that, that idea works. But you know they're not going to do that. And the fans will catch on to that very quickly.
They will. Well, I guess as far as the 3-hour thing with the socially interactive stuff, we'll wait and see. But I don't know. I just think it's some way, whether it's real, whether it's rigged, whatever, it's some way they had to go. And they're going to have to go, if not today, tomorrow. It's going to have to happen. With, you know, especially how hard that they're pushing Twitter, especially because TNA is doing stuff like that too now, apparently. And it's like, I'd rather see them push Twitter. They've gotten a lot better with pushing Twitter. It was ridiculous for a while. They've gotten a lot better with it. And you know, like I said, there's going to be little kids and like other people who think this is the coolest thing ever and think their voices are really going to be heard. And, you know, at the end of the day, who's going to pay a lot of the money? Mm-hmm. The little kids telling their parents to buy them T-shirts, not the guys on the internet yelling and screaming that it's, no offense to you guys, because I'm the same way, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'll spend money, but they want the kids' money. That's what they're going for. So, I don't know. 3 hours is going to be hard for anything, and there's no knock on WWE or anything, but it's going to be very hard to sit and block 3 hours out of my night, you know, as a working adult and try to watch it. Hopefully it'll be an hour of commercials so I can fast forward.
Well, how about up here in Canada where it's going to be, well, as far as we know, it's going to be starting at 9 o'clock our time, which is Pacific time, and then ending at midnight or 12:30 even. Like, do you really expect people to stay up that late to watch a show?
From what I understand, James, the Score Network is saying that they are going to be airing Monday Night Raw on an hour delay.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
So Monday Night Raw is not going to be live in Canada anymore. It's going to be on an hour delay.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
That's how they should see. But right there, that's unfair because that screws up Twitter and Facebook and everything else they're doing for you guys.
Exactly.
You guys can't log on. You don't know what happened. And to watch Raw on DVR is going to suck now, too, because you're going to be so...
Well,
Twitter.
We also brought up the fact that if, let's say, they do a Monday Night Raw in Los Angeles, the people who are attending it at the Staples Center, they're going to have to show up at 4:30 in the afternoon to do the show.
Rough, man.
That's totally unreasonable.
On a Monday.
Totally unreasonable.
People are going to be rushing home from work, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's.
I think this is not going to go on forever. I think it's going to be interesting. I think they got paid a lot of money to do it, and I think that, if you're going to get their way, I think USA Network has wanted them to go for another hour, from what I understand, for a long time. So, now they're going to take
the camera. I think it's going to crash and burn, personally.
Well, I've said it already. The lights are already hung. The cameras are already in place. The employees are already there working. It's an extra hour of work for everyone. But if you think about it, it's free television for the WWE because everything's already there. So you just throw, four more commercial breaks within the hour. I mean, you're making nothing but money in this situation.
And USA Network's paying them millions of dollars to do it. So,
Of course.
From a business standpoint, you can't turn it down. But from a fan standpoint, I'm not mad about it like everyone. I'm just intrigued. I'm more intrigued to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
There's got to be something interesting to come of this. And, I'm not opposed to any type of wrestling promotion, even outside WWE. One of the things I love is horrible wrestling TV or bad wrestling. Like, if something's really bad, I love that stuff. So I'll still be entertained either way, good or bad.
for sure.
I'm very positive.
You have to be, right?
Bad wrestling can be very good if something's really bad. You get frustrated, but you're like, this is pretty funny when you think about it.
All right, let's get back to what we're watching on television then. And, whether it is good or bad or not, we'll let you decide. We talked about Brock Lesnar. We talked about John Cena post-WrestleMania. What about Lord Tensai, or just Tensai now by what he's going as? But what are your thoughts on the debut of Tensai and how they've handled him?
Lord Tensai. I was there like you guys were for his debut. From what I'm getting and what I've read and heard, apparently Big Show's taking his spot for a little while they're kind of taking him off and like rechanging him around. He's not Lord Tensai, I guess he's just Tensai. It's funny because I don't think it's some people hate on it. I don't think it's horrible. Here's my positivity coming out again, but I think that he's a big dude. He's got a great look. He can do certain cool things and be intimidating. I think where the mess up happened was they didn't need to put that fake paint on his face. God, you're just going to put the fake tattoos like.
He's already got the tire tread, you mean?
What's that?
The tire tread, you mean?
Yes, that's what it looks like. You're right. I didn't thought of that. That's really good. That's really funny. I never thought of that. I don't know why. Wow, yeah. We were calling it Hakushi fake tattoos,
Well, I was just waiting for him to sweat and then have it rub off his face mid-match, and then I'd be like, are they still going to call it a tattoo?
It's just like that stuff like that to me is like disastrous. Like, I don't know why they would do it.
Yeah.
But, I think that this is so crazy, but I think a couple things that could be done differently with Tensai to make it work would be, A, get rid of the stuff on his face. He's got enough crazy tattoos. B, his get up when he came to the ring. And that would have been cool in the 90s or whatever. I just don't know if that would work now. Either update that or have him wear nothing and have him just walk out. Maybe do the Taz thing where he put a towel over his head. That might be kind of cool. I don't mind the little guy with him, like his little worshiper. I don't mind that because he
Sakamoto
can and stuff. Yeah. I think though that they need to make him more serious. I think he had a cartoony look to him. I don't think people were digging that. I don't think they need to have. I'm glad they did have a backstory about him going to Japan and stuff. That's cool. But I think they could have made him almost just like a guy that went to Japan, more serious, a touch of the Taz gimmick from the ECW days. And now MMA is so big, he could have studied MMA over there and just ran through competition. But they should have, like, even if I don't know. I just think they made him too cartoony. I think there's hope for him. I think there's something there. And the other thing that used to bother me was the mist. The mist he was blowing.
Yes, that's terrible. First,
well, no, it's cool, but like it was. I think the first couple times it was clear mist, and I kept saying, like, why do that? Like, blow it in the guy's face, or put it, make it red, and put it on your hands. It'll look better, like for TV. It'll look.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he ended up. What is he doing? Green now?
Yeah.
At least he's doing green. But I mean, I don't know. I think that there's potential still there, and I'm and you know, from everything I hear, that he's a really cool dude, and I want to see him do his last run before he retires. He's getting older, but he can do stuff. You know, they saddle that weird gimmick on him. He can still be Tensai.
Personally, I think the biggest mistake WWE did with Lord Tensai was debuting him on the same night as Brock Lesnar. Because immediately he's overshadowed now. Nobody's talking about Lord Tensai after that Raw. Everybody's talking about Brock Lesnar. And secondly...
With all due respect, though, I don't think if Brock Lesnar was there, I think I might even, if you look at him, it'd been better for Tensai, because I don't think it would have been positive. I think it would have been all negative on Lord Tensai after the debut, unless they did something else.
You
with
can't
him, so.
End Raw with Tensai the night after WrestleMania, so... You should have held him off for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, they should have waited. Yeah, that's a really good point. They should have waited, man. What was your second thing? I'm sorry.
The second thing is you've got a big white guy doing a cliche Japanese gimmick. I don't know. To me, that was the biggest thing for me that just didn't work. I don't know what you think on that, but that's, I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
I think you're right about that, but that's what I'm saying. They gave him too much of a cartoony gimmick. The backstory, they should have brought him with more of a backstory. Like, they should have did vignettes about him being an American guy. I don't care if he's an American guy that went to Japan and hated America so much that he loved the culture and took it in and studied there and started beating up people there and then wanted to come back and beat up the Americans. I don't know. That's a simple one. But like, or they could just say that he went over there and this is the culture he learned under. He doesn't have to act like he's Japanese and stuff. Like,
well, exactly.
I think the funny thing was they kind of tried to make him pass to be Japanese at first or something. They didn't really mention that he wasn't. They kind of did, but they didn't.
Guys.
What?
They're trying to make the connection for the fans who love wrestling and Pokemon.
Jeez.
No, not working?
Not at all.
Sailor Moon,
yeah,
then? No.
I just want to say, over 10 years ago, on one of my first professional wrestling matches I was ever involved in, the promoter, who's beyond me, I don't even know where he is now, but he tried to call me. He tried to give me the name. He said, "What's your name, kid?" I said, "Oh, no." He's like, "You're La Femme Nicolai." I said, "Yeah, I'm not being that." He goes, "Okay." No, this is, so he goes, "You're, then you gotta be, you gotta polka dot short." I was trying to wear like obnoxious things stuck out, or it stood out. I go, "Yeah." He's like, "Pokemon's real big now. You're gonna be Pokemon." I said, "No, come on." He's like, "You're Pokey. Your name's Pokey." So in PWI, if you look, I'm still built as, I think I'm built as Poke.
Oh, jeez.
Got defeated by poking backs, got defeated by the Rough Rider.
Well, think about it. If you
so
ran...
I had the Pokemon thing first. It didn't work out too well.
If you ran with it, though, you might have been where Lord Tensai is these days.
Maybe, dude. I might have tried to go to Japan. Everything would have worked out for me.
How about Ryback and what he's been, the emergence of Ryback? How do you think the
Ryback.
WWE has handled that?
You mean Goldberg 2.0?
Ryback. Wow. I don't mean to talk... I didn't mean to talk over. I think I just talked over somebody. You can go ahead. If you
know. No, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure the nickname that everyone is giving him is Ryberg, but...
Goldberg 2.0?
Yeah, dude, see, this is killing me. This is killing me, too. Like, look, I don't think people look at stuff with open minds enough. Maybe I'm nuts. But, like, when Ryback was Skip Sheffield, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying to my friend that this guy has something. I said, I don't know what it is, but I feel like he has something. He's got a certain charisma. He's a big guy. There's just something there. And I said, they could make him into like kind of like a Goldberg kind of guy. He got hurt. He went away. I was bummed. Comes back as Ryback. All right. Well, everyone's going, oh, Ryberg or, you know, Goldberg, Ryberg, whatever. The bottom line is, let's go back to the Pizza Boy analogy here. This guy's a star of the show here, Pizza Boy. But when Goldberg was on top, I know he's a big star for a while, but the kids that are watching now, they didn't know. I mean, if you look at wrestling, everything reinvents itself. You look at angles, you look at storylines, you look at tag teams, you look at names, everything.
Oh, yeah, history is constantly repeating itself.
But is it too soon, Brian?
I don't think so, dude, because I don't think he's Goldberg. He's Ryback to me. So you're telling me that any guy, well, I guess the bald head doesn't know, but any guy that comes out as a killer. Hey, Sid was a killer in WWF. Remember when we were kids? They would send him down to the aisle on stretchers.
It's no.
I think it's the similar
to
look.
To me, it's not. It's not what the. It's to me. It's what he's doing. It's the little things that he's doing that's bothering me. For example,
like the mannerisms.
Well, yeah, because they're just exactly the same. There's nothing creative that he's coming up with on his own. The way he looks at the camera, the way he yells, you know, finish him, and you know, like, even the setup for his finishing move is the exact same setup that Goldberg had with the jackhammer. It's there's nothing different, and I can appreciate that they want to recreate this potential Goldberg winning streak with a powerhouse guy who's going to demolish through everyone, but does he have to be exactly the same thing? Because to me, that's what he is, and it's his mannerisms that are getting to me, because there's nothing different. And I'm pretty sure that everyone here, including Vince and Ryback, and they all know that, and they're probably playing off it now. But to me, that shouldn't happen. Like, Ryback, if he is going to be an exact ripoff of Goldberg, he shouldn't come anywhere near the streak. If he had a little bit of creativity and a little bit of a different aspect to him, then I could maybe see it.
Plus, I don't like how he's smashing local guys on pay-per-views. I mean, to me, that's just a waste of valuable pay-per-view airtime.
Yeah, but that's how...
Not me, dude. Hey, I was a local guy at one point. I would have loved to get smashed on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I like that, actually.
Well, yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm just saying, isn't there more deserving guys in the back who are paying more of their dues
with the WWE?
No, you're
this is how
right,
you start, though. This is how you start.
These guys are unknowns. Yeah, these guys are unknowns that can just get squashed and they can leave and no one will care. Whereas why would you want to be the guy that you have under contract that, you know, could do something one day? Like, why would you want to squash him like that? I know what you mean. I get it. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to bring my contract.
Yeah, no, I can see both sides of the argument.
Well, you know, if you're going to have Ryback go through 150 guys, let's say, you're not going to feed him the WWE roster in the beginning. You're going to have the first 50 or 60 be guys that are just going to come and go. And then as you build up towards that winning streak, you know, as you get closer and closer and closer, you're going to see the more important guys come in.
I don't have any problem with that. It's just doing it on pay-per-view. That's my issue. I don't know. That's just
it's all about
it. But they have to have that, too. It's almost like I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm sure you know this, but like a popcorn match where big match, they have to kind of bring the crowd down a little bit.
They have to have good, you know, something to transition.
And they're not wasting a ton of time doing it. They're no more than 6 minutes.
Plus the average fan likes that, to see somebody just get squashed real quick by a powerhouse. But that's, again, I try to look at things. I totally get everything you guys are saying. I think you can make some very valid points. Like I said, points well taken. But sometimes I try to pull myself out of how I might think, and I look at how just the average fan who's paying their money to come would think. Mm-hmm. And I really don't think the kids would make the connection with Goldberg. I don't, because that was 1999, 2000. You know what I mean?
I disagree. I just think that you have no choice but to make the connection. And, you know,
if you weren't watching, if you were a young kid, you weren't watching. You didn't know. This is a whole new era, dude. Like we just talked about earlier. I know what you mean. I agree with you, but I'm just saying it's a whole new era.
You're telling me that the average 12-year-old fan doesn't even know who Goldberg is?
No, I'm saying if they're 12 years old, dude, they weren't even really born. Or if they're 13, they're
exactly
1 year old.
I know.
All
they got to do is go on YouTube, look at one clip, and they're going to be like, "What the hell? This is an exact ripoff."
Yeah, but think about this though. It's the first time these kids may have seen Goldberg, so now they're going like, "Wow, this guy's like Ryback. Like they're Ryback. They're Goldberg." That's what I'm saying to you. Like it's not the same, but I can't really put it into words. But yeah. I know what I'm trying to say.
I
agree with what you're saying.
Like, and I see what you're saying. Like, I understand that was such a successful, such a successful gimmick back in the day. That yeah, it would work again. But my problem with it is that there is nothing different. Everything is exact same, and that's what bothers me. It's just, to me, it's a bit insulting as a fan to just throw the exact same thing down my throat.
Oh, I know.
10 years later.
I know what you mean, but let me give you an analogy of this too. I'm weird. I'm a fan of circuses. I'm like a little child. I enjoy them. I think they're cool.
All right, that'll be the end of the interview here tonight.
No, listen, for real. I went to it's wrestling circuses. It's all the same stuff. I really like to see how they work. The fans and stuff. And I went to this. There's never circuses around. I went to a circus. They shot a guy out of a cannon. Right. Mm. Very cool. Like the worst thing you see a guy get shot out of a cannon. Awesome, right? if you're a little kid, it's really awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I've seen this done, like, I don't know, two or three times before. Same thing. So, like, I'm sitting there, out to my girl, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, they can do the Canon guy. I'm like, oh, this is cool to see. Like, I'll watch it. But she'd never seen anything like that before. So it was like, oh, my God, they're going to shoot a guy out of a can. I'm like, yeah. Like, she didn't know about it.
I know.
So it was the first time. Yeah.
I can understand what you're saying, but the difference here is that there is a entire library of footage on YouTube that anyone just has to go and type one word in, and they're going to see it.
But they have to know who to see. They got to look for Goldberg, or they have to stumble upon it.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody listening to think I sound like a fool, because I totally know what you're saying.
No, I know, and I know what you're saying, and I know from a wrestler, you know, from a behind the scenes standpoint, it's smart for Vince to try and do it again. I'm just wondering if it's maybe a little too soon, and maybe if we should just mix it up a little bit. That being said, I think Ryback could be a guy that is good for that role. Like, the guy is impressive.
He's not bad to watch.
Did you see what he did on SmackDown where he lifted the two guys up on his shoulders?
Yeah.
That was awesome to me.
That was cool.
There's, like I said, there's something, like I said to my friend when he skipped Sheffield, you know how they talk about the it factor? I'm not saying he has the it factor of like a Cena or like a Hogan or somebody, but there's something there. Just needs to be tapped into. Right?
Well,
we'll see what happens.
And they knew that too, because when Skip Sheffield got injured right at the height of the Nexus, everyone thought, they're going to probably release him now, right? But they didn't. They let him go through his injury, and they waited for him to heal himself because they knew that this guy had potential. Because they could have cut him right then. As soon as he got injured in the middle of the Nexus thing, you know, his days were numbered, or he was no longer going to be part of the Nexus thing. And remember, at that time, all of us were wondering, what are they going to do with all these NXT Season 1 guys? Are they going to keep them, or are they going to cut some of them loose? Or are they going to cut a couple? And I thought, at the time when Skip Sheffield got injured, I'm like, oh, well, that was his shot. But they kept him for a reason, and this is obviously the reason. So, interesting.
Funny, because I think Ryback kind of looks like, sometimes when I look at him, if they glance at him real quick, I think the Goldberg connection, but I think of, you remember Glacier?
Yeah.
I feel like he looks like a bald, jacked-up Glacier.
Interesting. I will say this, though. The armband that's around his bicep that has the R on it, it's too similar to the Nexus armband that they used to wear. Do you remember?
Ask him that if I ever interview him. Maybe that's how he's paying homage to how he got his start in WWE. Maybe that's his little thing. Who knows?
Maybe
I'm looking too far into this.
I'm sure we probably all are. This whole show is about looking too far into things. how about post-WrestleMania, the CM Punk, Chris Jericho drinking angle? How did you like how that went down and finished ultimately?
I'm with you, Brian. I am totally with you.
Yeah, man. I it's funny because, again, you talk about seeing things. I'd seen him in Ring of Honor do that the kind of drinking gimmick with Raven. And I'd seen, like, things like that before with him, which I was kind of excited to see how they were going to do it. I feel like they went too long with it. There was that one promo on Raw, I think Punk cut it, where he was talking about his dad. It was, like, really long, and I was like, and then they had to do the thing where Punk had to act like he was drunk, but then he was sober. Like, it was just, I don't know. I felt like it was done quickly. It could have been good, but I feel like it was kind of drawn out too long.
Mm-hmm.
We got some good Punk-Jericho matches, at least. Matches. But
I just thought they really made Jericho look weak at the end of it. At no point did we ever see Jericho live up to his words that it's the end of the world as we know it. And really, it was just a downhill slide, slowly. But it was a downhill slide from the moment he arrived, and after he's finished with Punk, then we're supposed to believe that he has a shot at Randy Orton, and I just felt like they really, and maybe this was Jericho's plan all along. I mean, obviously Jericho wanted to put Punk over because he realizes he is someone worth putting over.
Well,
that's really
his role now is to...
I know, but you can also do it in a way that somewhat saves Jericho for the next guy that he's going to go into a program with, because to me, you know, he's coming out and he's attacking Orton, and I'm just like, oh, well, you just got beat by Punk like three or four times in a row, right? Or three times, I think it was. So that to me is what I didn't like about it, is that Jericho just wasn't as big of a threat anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's another good point. I think it makes a lot of sense. I just didn't like, I mean, the, I guess the execution of the storyline, that was my main complaint. I guess it's kind of similar to what you're saying. And I just think it could have been done better, and I think it went way too long. They drug it out.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. And I love, and this is coming from a guy, I followed Jericho since his Japanese days, his ECW days, and, you know, I followed Punk for years since the Indies and all, and, like, I was two guys that, you know, I enjoy watching. I was excited to see what they would do. And, you know, they didn't really even need the drinking angle. They could have just done the best in the world versus the best in the world. Who's the best in the world?
They
didn't
That's what I thought they were going to do, but...
And again, remember we talked about it? I said, like, the Bret Hart thing, like, we talked about, you know, they kind of add things in there sometimes. Like the Brock Lesnar thing, they kind of add things in there with Johnny Ace sometimes.
Yeah.
You're like, why did they do that? It's just how they do it, man.
I think they just do that sort of stuff to extend and prolong the amount of money they can draw out of these programs. And by adding that drinking aspect, it brought a whole extra 2 months to the program, right?
Pretty much.
Because if you think about it, if they went with the whole, you know, best in the world gimmick and that was it, it should have ended at WrestleMania. So.
Yeah, and I think, too, these things maybe start off as awesome ideas, and then it goes, you know, it's like whispered down the line, lane or telephone or whatever you call it. After it goes through about 25 different sets of hands, things get stretched out or they don't come off the way you want them to. So, you know, it might have been a great idea in the beginning, and it just got kind of,
yeah,
you know.
Now, this is last week's news, but what do you make of the quick thoughts on Jericho and the flag incident in Brazil?
Oh, I think that, hello, Brazil listeners, don't arrest me for this, but I think that, you know, I when I read it, I was like, okay, there's, and my gut reaction was Jericho did this on purpose to get some press on himself, because I didn't know a lot about him. Like, that's brilliant, good for him, he's smart, he gets a couple days off, and then I thought, no, I don't think so, because, like, you can get arrested and all. I think Jericho didn't mean... Yeah. I don't think he meant anything by it. I really don't. I think it was an honest mistake. He's doing something that heels have done in wrestling for years to get heat. And I just, you know, from he's a smart guy. I don't think he really meant anything by that.
No.
I think that, you know, Michaels had a really good response on Twitter about it, and I agree with everything Shawn Michaels said.
Which
basically
was what?
It's on BeneathTheMat.com.
Nice.
Well, no, you only go straight to Shawn Michaels' Twitter. But he said, like, that, basically, he stands behind Jericho, and, you know, Jericho is being a heel, and this has come from HBK. This is the crazy part.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, basically it's too PC now. People are too PC now, and they can't even act anymore. He's acting. You know, and I thought about that, too, before Michaels even wrote that. If this happened in a movie, and, like, Nicolas Cage, I don't know why I said him, but Nicolas Cage, if somebody did it in a movie, it might get a little heat, but it's a movie.
Yeah.
If it happened on a TV show, it's a TV show. Like, it's not like he hates Brazil. And I get it, and people be up in arms if they did in America. You know, Michaels do the thing with the Canadian flag. I'm not Canadian, but apparently that bothered you guys.
Not really. Didn't really bother me that much.
No, see, that's what I mean. Like, the American flag, it's a little different. You know, my grandfather's and all fought in the war and all that stuff. But, like, he wouldn't, like, I get that it's an act. Like, I'd be like, ooh, I don't know if he should have done that, but it's an act, you know. Yeah.
I've definitely seen worse. Let's put it that way.
Well, it's a
good... it's not... Whatever. WWE had to suspend him.
Do you think Vince is even mad at Jericho for this?
No, I don't. You know, it's funny, because I always think of things like, what is Vince doing when he gets this phone call about this?
Yeah.
What reaction? Where is he
That's
eating,
what I
where
do
eating
well.
Dinner? What does he say? Like, I want to know, like, what happens? He might not even know about it. Like, God damn, Jericho, good job. They're like, no, Vince, he's going to get arrested. Damn, Jericho. I would love it here, but I don't think, I don't know. That's funny to speculate, but I would, I mean, I guess because it made his company look bad, but when it comes down to it, I don't know. I've never really, I don't know Vince, but I would like to think that the Vince McKennedy McMahon, in my mind, would be proud of Jericho that he did it, but I don't know if Vince would really feel proud. Maybe he just has to suspend him to,
just
live
PR
the election role now, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's a convenient way to get him off of television so he can start touring with his band in the summer.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's why I thought maybe it was on purpose, but then I thought, nah, maybe not.
Yeah, I can't see it.
Because, like I said, with Linda running for office or whatever she's doing, they don't want any negative publicity.
No. And the fact that they publicly apologized on their website moments after, so... I think.
Oh, yeah, and then they put him out, yeah. It's definitely a company thing.
Yeah. All right, we got one more topic, and then we got to wrap it up here. We wanted to ask you about the emergence of, you know, the Yes Man, Daniel Bryan. Just how great has it been for him since the night after WrestleMania?
DB. I think, like I said to you earlier, I think that WrestleMania helped him. I think a lot of fans are upset by it. And I don't know if, I don't think it aired on TV. I don't know if it was on the website, but I know you guys are there too. Raw, it's crazy. Remember afterwards?
Oh, it was nuts.
Dark match. Oh, my God. It's like, first of all, I've been saying for years that he's, and he's another guy I've watched for years. I've watched him since right after he came out of Shawn Michaels' school. And I've been saying for the last couple of years that he is pound for pound, on TV at least, I'll even say the world, one of the best wrestlers in the world. And it's not like a gimmick, like he is. And I said to one of my friends who's like a casual fan, like, oh, he's boring, he's boring. And he turned heel.
Remember when I said that on South Beach there? I said that he was boring.
Did you say he's boring too?
Yeah.
Did I get mad at you?
No, you debated it. James debated as well, but
oh yeah,
I thought he was boring up until this point, but he's definitely turned it around.
Then you're down with him now. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's dead. Okay, for you to say that, and for a guy who I know that he was a big fan growing up, and he's kind of a fan now, for him to say the same thing, you know, fans are getting with it. He's doing something right, all because of yes, 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 and like people will say it's all because of that, and that's the catalyst for it. If he wasn't an awesome wrestler. And if he wasn't, like, good at promos, he didn't have an awesome presence to himself, the yes, yes, yes thing would wear off in 2 weeks and people would be tired of seeing him. So, like, he's doing something right, and he's very good, and he's a heck of a... I've met him numerous times. He's a great guy, so it makes me feel good that he's doing so good.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Anything else you want to talk about?
He's happy. He did say... he did say in his interview, I will mention that in his interview, he just... If you listen to it, he just comes off as a guy that loves wrestling and is very happy, and he's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, he just seems like he enjoys life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to think, we talked about the yes phenomenon. Because we had like a conversation. It wasn't even an interview. We got so off on other things. I don't think we even got to, I wanted to ask him where the yes thing came from, who came up with that idea and stuff. But we didn't get to all that. He did tell me, though, this is a good one. He did tell me WWE sent him, I asked him, a list of 10 names to use. Did you ever hear this story?
No.
He says it. WWE, I said, how, you know, what names do they ask you to use? And he said, well, I picked Daniel Bryan. They didn't want Bryan Danielson. I said, what other names were on the list? Give me some. And the best name in the world was Buddy Peacock.
What?
They wanted him to be Buddy Peacock, he said. And I was like, dude, I hope you turn that down. He's like, I kind of wish I would have been Buddy Peacock. You know, he's like, Buddy Peacock could have been on top of the world or whatever. I'm like, no, it wouldn't have worked. I'm like, you couldn't have been Buddy Peacock. You got to be beautiful, Buddy Peacock. That would work. And it's something like the 80s wrestler, you know?
You know what? I will say,
like, Peacock strut.
I will say that the WWE has dropped the ball in one aspect of Daniel Bryan since the night after WrestleMania. And this is personal opinion and taste, but I feel that the Yes shirt that they rushed to get out is just horrid. And that it could have been one of the better selling t-shirts, but it just looks terrible. And people are reluctant to buy it.
I think people are going to buy it, dude. I don't know how it's selling, but I'm sure people wanted that shirt so bad, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah, but when they saw it finally, what about when you saw it for the first time?
I wouldn't wear it, but I don't typically wear a whole bunch of wrestling t-shirts, but I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe the fans, like we talked about earlier, the younger ones who might think he's... I guess the funny thing with catchphrases, like, even if the fans hate you, that's why I hate when heels have catchphrases, because they still are down with the catchphrases. But they're not supposed to like you. So, you know what I mean? That drives me nuts.
I know.
I'm getting off on another topic here.
No, that's okay. We're running out of time anyways, Brian. I just wanted to ask you, you know, is there anything else you did want to talk about before we let you go?
No, man. It's all good. Everything was cool. I had a fun time. I hope we can talk again. The only other things I'll say is anybody listening, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at the Brian, BrianSOSCIA. My name. And you can also check out mixphiladelphia.com for my interviews, and beneaththemat.com is a great site. A lot of neat columns up there, and they carry all my interviews. But it was really an honor. I mean, first of all, I'm happy I met you guys at WrestleMania because it's so cool to talk to you. But also just to come on the show, and I like watching as your show continues to grow, and hopefully we can do more together in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Although you Canadians run on some weird time, though. It's really late here. I'm tired.
Hey, WrestleMania 29, New Jersey, New York. Where you going?
Hey, man. If I'm here, yeah. You know, I plan on it. It's probably about it's about 15 minutes from my girlfriend's house, where she's from. So
because we've already got.
There you go.
I was going to say, we've already got you booked for the night before WrestleMania preview show again. So.
I don't know, man. By that time, you better watch out. You know, maybe Perfect Plex Radio might want to have you.
All right, Brian Socha, thank you very much for coming on the show again. And
that was beautiful.
We'll definitely have you back on sometime soon. It's always great talking WWE with you.
Yes. Thank you very much,
thank
Brian.
Thank you very much, guys. I hope I made sense and in my tire, and it was great talking to you too, all right?
All right, man. Take care.
All right, see you later.
Brian Socha, James.
Wonderful guy. Very knowledgeable.
I just like talking wrestling with him.
Always a pleasure to have Brian on the show. It really is.
All right, it's time for us to get out of here.
Yes, it is.
Because it's getting late here. You think it's late here. It's almost 1 a.m. over there on the East Coast in Philadelphia for Brian. So
wow.
We got to get out of here.
Absolutely.
All right, we will be back on Monday for SRL on a Monday night. That will be broadcast live at 9:30 Pacific time. And remember to get your emails with the thoughts and opinions of Monday Night Raw, your thoughts and opinions of Monday Night Raw, to onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. And we're going to be giving away a DVD, a WWE DVD, courtesy of the WWE next Monday.
Sounds good to me.
All right. This was Quick Take for Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm Corey Callahan.
I am James McDonald.
And we will see you on Monday. Pull my flesh away.